Okay, today is July the 18th, and by the way, it is also my grandson's birthday, Grant. So Grant and Pete and Fabian all have a birthday today. Do what? 9 years old. He's also known as Slugger. That's true. He's also known as Slugger. They call him Slugger. Or the Hammer.
Which is worse? How does he come by this lifting? Good at that? Good at
yeah.
That?
Okay. let's see. I guess we better do our regular thing here. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer for the option of naming privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our God and you change not. You are always perfectly righteous and just, full of grace and mercy. We thank you that we have this time that we can assemble ourselves together here to focus and concentrate on what is most important in this life. We are in the spiritual gymnasio, that is the gymnasium where we work out and we build our spiritual muscles so that we will be able to exercise them whenever they're called for. So we thank you for this and pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. There's an article that I received from the Family Research Council yesterday. And it's not very long, but I'm going to try to read it and not let it get my blood up like it did when I read it the first time. A lot of things go on, and you might not be aware of this because it's not just what the media covers or how they cover it. It's also what they don't cover that is harmful. The name of this article is Remorse Code? GOP changes tune on trans vote. Have any of you heard anything about this? This came out July the 17th, 2017. When Republicans won the control of Congress, the last thing voters thought they'd get was a continuation of Obama's social agenda. So imagine their surprise on Friday when that's exactly what 23 GOP members voted to give them as part of the National Defense Authorization Act. That's the NDAA. In a move that stunned conservatives, almost 24 House Republicans made the mind-blowing decision to side with the Obama administration on transgender policy, so extreme that only 23% of the country support it. Even that didn't deter these Republicans, who agreed with liberals that legitimate military needs should take a back seat to taxpayer-funded sex changes in the military. It was a slap in the face to our military, who, like most Americans, had hoped the GOP would start cleaning up the messes of the last administration, not making more. Instead, this band of defectors gave the far left the help it needed to keep Obama's mission of dismantling the military alive. No one was more frustrated than Representative Vicky Hartzler, whose amendment had nothing to do with whether the gender confused could serve, but whether taxpayers should be forced to put the $3.7 billion price tag if they do. Like us, she thinks the last thing the Pentagon should be doing is diverting money from mission-critical training to something as controversial as gender reassignment surgery. Of course, she didn't thank the party she didn't thank the party she needed to persuade was her own. It makes no sense to create soldiers who are unable to fight and win our nation's wars, and unfair to non-transitioning individuals who must leave their families and deploy in the first place. Veterans and double amputee Brian Mast from Florida made a compelling case for Hertzler's amendment, telling his colleagues, quote, "I've been on the battlefield. I have veteran friends who can't get oxygen treatment, who can't get the things they need for their spine, or can't get the best wheelchair or body armor. This is going to be where we should be spending our money. That should take priority over everything else." Everyone, it seems, except Republicans like Representative Justin Amash from Michigan, almost immediately constituents responded. Social media lit up with outrage over Republicans like Representative Justice Amash, Vote, and others. How does a libertarian like Amish justify coercively taxing some people to pay for other people's sex reassignment surgery? Ryan Anderson asked Matt Walsh, asked, Matt Walsh turned up the heat in a fiery back and forth with the congressman. "You're disingenuous by adding elective surgery. All transgender surgery is elective and not only medically unnecessary, but harmful. Voters everywhere are up in arms over the betrayal they never saw coming. Now leaders like Lieutenant Colonel Alan West question where the GOP can even go from here." Now this paragraph is why, more than anything, why I'm sending this to you, because Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, he's a black man, he's retired, phenomenal guy. And this is what he says, quote, "So, what's next? Taxpayers-funded cosmetic surgery for troops? We know who the progressive socialists are and what they stand for. The real question now is, what does it mean to be a Republican? What does it mean to be a Republican?" I'm not rereading, he said it twice. "Republicans don't know. They are too busy acquiescing, compromising, and opposing those who would never do the same for them. They are fundamentally confused as to who they are and that for which they stand. The greater population of America are conservative. They believe in faith, family, individual liberty, economic freedom, better education opportunities, working hard to care for themselves, and having a strong and secure nation." End of quote. Colonel West is right. This policy does nothing to advance military readiness, and this demand will only be followed by another and another and another. Are these Republicans really so naive as to think that the LGBT activists will return their favor come election time? Or that they'll be mollified? Liberals won't be satisfied until they stripped common decency, faith, and morality from the public square. And these 23 House members are giving them a helping hand. In my conversations with our friends on the Hill, I've heard that members' offices have been overwhelmed by calls and emails on this issue. Don't stop. There are plenty of strong and courageous House leaders who aren't going to let this issue go. We can't afford it. And then he gives the name of all 23 of these turncoats. And I won't read them all, but I will tell you this. Two-thirds of these 23 turncoats are from the East or West Coast. There's only a few that were in the flyover states. Two-thirds of them were either on the West Coast or the East Coast.
And this article's on the Internet?
No, this was on the Internet.
So we can find the names, right?
Yeah. And but here's the one thing. One was from Texas. His name is Sam Johnson. And I say, shame on John, on Sam Johnson and the rest of these 23 turncoats. What in the world are they thinking of? This is our military. This is our self-defense. And they're going along with the social experimentation that was outrageous in the last administration. And now they were elected to change things, and they are going along with it. These people, I'm glad he gives them the names. Most of them were, the majority of them were, of course, from California and New York. Well, anyway, I thought I would give that to you. I just wonder sometimes what the Lord thinks. You know, we live in a very dangerous world, and we have adversaries around the world that would love nothing more than to defeat us militarily, take our country, kill us, whatever. And for irresponsible people that would do such a thing, they need to never be elected again. They need to be shamed. They need to be disgraced. And I hope that the people who are in their states will let them know. I tried to get Sam Johnson's contact information because I was going to give him a piece of my mind, but I couldn't find it, so he dodged that bullet.
How much is that going to cost?
$3.7 billion.
Billion?
Huh?
Billion?
Yeah, I didn't say million, I said billion. Yeah, that's over a 10-year period. 10-year period for reassignment surgery and all the drugs and the therapy and the, you know, all that goes into it.
You can buy a lot of airplanes for that.
You better know it. You can buy a lot of things in the military for that. And at the same time, I mean, do you really think that God is going to be fighting with or in front of a military that has transgenders in it, have women in it that are showering with the males? That's already happening. And like I said, mark my words, it's very possible in the future we'll have another draft. And when we have another draft, I can assure you, they are going to be drafting young girls. And all I'm saying, I've said it before, if I had an 18-year-old daughter and they said they were going to draft her and she would have to shower with men and be put in harm's way, I'd say, over my dead body, you just come and try. And if the fathers in this country don't have that same attitude, then we don't deserve to have a country. That's just my opinion. I better get on before I say what I really mean. Yeah, I'd like that. Okay, we are in the discernment review, and we've been looking at marriage. We started with religion, then we went to government, and now we are with marriage. We just started it. And what we're looking at are the different attacks. You see, there's a lot of things out there that can ruin marriages. And they are not by happenstance. They're designed to do that. And it is Satan himself that is behind it. Not just George Soros, but Satan himself. And what we're going over are these different areas, these different things that are harmful to marriage. And one of them, of course, is government. And what we were looking at, I'll just scroll up here a little bit, is government welfare to single moms. And, you know, even if you give someone the benefit of the doubt that they mean well in what they're doing, it's the government that has ruined the families more than everything else put together. And there's about 8 or 9 things that I have listed that I'm going to show you that are disassembling and destroying marriage in our society. But the number one is government. And this is, even if they have an altruistic type of attitude in doing it, it doesn't make any difference. Because can you, right off the bat, what do you know that would forbid government from giving any welfare money, any benefits to women who have children who are in need? What do you know about, if somebody asks you that, I guess I'm asking you it now, what's the first thing that comes to your mind what prohibits government from doing that? Yeah, then if it's not an enumerated power, if it's not specifically spelled out in the organic constitution, they can not lawfully do it. Now, they're doing it across the board, but they can't lawfully do it. And what makes it worse is every one of them puts their hand on the Bible, raise their other hand, and take a solemn oath to uphold and defend, follow the Constitution, and yet most of them are not. And I was looking at this aid to dependent with aid to parents with dependent children, or aid to families with dependent children. I was looking at this. It's not called that anymore, by the way. I did some research and found out now it's called TANF, Temporary Aid for Needy Families. It was aid to families with dependent children. And this is just one of many, 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 many benefits that a family can get, and if especially if you don't have a man living at home. In other words, if you don't have a husband and you don't have a job, then there's a whole array of benefits that are open to you. And what that has done that is so harmful, a few people have picked up on it, and it's even getting more traction here lately. Jesse Lee Peterson, the black guy that I was talking about, he is the creator and the executive officer head of Bond. It's an acrostic, but he's the one that started pointing this out years ago, that it's not the poverty, it's not the residual effects of slavery, it's not discrimination, it's not any of these things that have just really devastated the blacks. It's the fathers that left the home. That is what has devastated the blacks, because when, even during slavery, the slaves, unless they had separated them, had the father and mothers living at home. And they said, well, it's the poverty. Well, during the Depression, poverty was across the nation. I mean, most people were in survival mode, and yet the divorce rate was nearly nothing compared to what it is now, and the blacks had both parents living at home as well. And you didn't have all the crime. The crime wasn't committed by people who in the families. There was organized crime that stepped in. Again, when the government steps in and tries to say, well, they responded to these teetotalers, and so they passed an amendment saying that we're not going to have drinking anymore, no alcohol. They succumbed to that. And when they did, what happened? Then organized crime came in, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people died over it. And the people are going to get what they want anyway. And eventually, they demonstrated that their idea of prohibition was a disaster, and they passed another amendment to rescind that. And so, and it's the same thing with the parents, with a two family, a two parent family. They say that the amount or the number percentage of blacks who are raised with just one parent, the majority of the time it's the mother, is up close to 80%. Now, when the fathers have stepped out and the mothers are getting not just aid to families with dependent children, but they get food stamps, they get medical care, they get they get education, free education. They get so much given to them. Now, I'm not heartless, and there are people that need help. And I'm of the mind, and I haven't changed my mind ever since I wrote the book, Tolerating Tyranny, that the government has zero authority to give a penny to anybody who is in need. Period. And yet, the whole scope of things. Now we have, what's the organization that comes in? I can't think of it. When you have storms and so forth?
FEMA.
FEMA, yeah, FEMA. FEMA is totally unconstitutional. The government doesn't have the authority. It's not granted to them to give a dime to anybody or do anything in a storm. And people think, oh, well, that's ludicrous. No. A good example was Katrina. When Katrina helped the whole nation, they were coming from California, North Dakota, everywhere, came in, and they were helping. And they were getting the job done. There was compassion there. But as soon as the government could assemble the FEMA and come in, they all left. And then it was a total fiasco. So what I'm saying is, it was first of all the families that should help family members. It was also friends that should help friends. And it is charitable organizations that can step in. And they are on, it's not a huge bureaucracy that tens of billions of dollars fund just the bureaucracy. There is no bureaucracy. Of course, they're on top and they're close to the situation, so there's little, if any, fraud during it. They can do a much better job. But how many people today, if you were going to talk about that, would even have a clue? I mean, they would be appalled if you said, well, no, the government has no business doing it. Well, what's going to happen? My question is, what happened before they started giving welfare? And what I described is what they had, and they did a much better job, more efficient. But what I'm telling you is, out of all of this, it's been a disaster with the fathers not in the homes. And it's not just blacks. I mean, there's a lot of whites and Hispanics and all, but it's more predominant in the blacks. And I was watching a Prager University YouTube today. By the way, I had Carrie send out a Prager University YouTube just yesterday. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but if you hadn't checked your email, you might look at it. Dinesh D'Souza did a phenomenal job at a church, really rebutting atheism and a lot of other things, and I thought it was worth you seeing. But I was watching a different one, and it was Dennis Prager, which is behind this Prager University YouTubes, and he went to a police station, I think it was in Los Angeles, and he was riding with the police, talking to the police, trying to get a handle on what it's like to be a policeman. And one of the things he asked, and they were patrolling this area where it was heavily saturated with drug violence, gang violence, and of course drugs as well. And Dennis asked him, he says, what do you think, he says, if it might not ever happen, but he says, what would happen if religion moved into this area? And you know what the policeman's response was? He said, I'm not so sure about the religion, he says, that needs to be moved in, but he said, it's the fathers that need to be moved in. He said, that would make all the difference. And he says, when he's talking to these gang members and all these criminals, he says, maybe 1/10 of them had a father. I mean, they all had fathers, but I mean a father that they had a relationship with. 9/10 of them, a lot of times didn't even know their father. He had stepped out. He's gone. Why? Because it is financially benefiting those that are single moms. They can make more money. They don't have to work. They have all these benefits that are taken by force from other people. Other citizens are given to them, which is... I want you to get a grasp of how horrible this is. Just saying that, well, yeah, they gave benefits. A lot of people say, well, you're not very loving. I mean, we need to get that some people need help and they need benefits. That's right, but it's not the government's job. And the father's leaving has devastated. He says they had no discipline. They don't know how to be a man. They don't know how to be responsible. They don't know how to treat a woman. They don't know anything because the fathers are gone. And they wind up easy bait for gangs. And the gangs are just... that's where so much crime is happening and all these murders. He said, for instance, in Chicago, all this government housing, again, from the 60s. Remember in the 60s when the Great Society of Johnson... And they started busing and they built all these government projects and all. Well, it was a colossal failure. And they didn't just pour billions, they poured trillions down this rat hole. And now they're demolishing all of these government housing buildings. And he said, what happens? One reason there's so much violence with the gangs is because these gangs have turf. They have certain geographical areas that they have. And he said, when they destroyed these buildings, all that changed, and nobody knows for sure whose turf is whose anymore, and they're having a war over it. And what is that again? Who's at the bottom of that one again? Government. And of course, we're given today where a lot of the feminists are saying, we don't need men anyway. We've got sperm banks. We don't need a husband. We don't need a father. And it is destroying this country in ways that most people couldn't even imagine. So this is a huge attack. I think it's a satanic attack because it's more subtle. And it's done under the guise of benefiting people, but they're destroying the people that they supposedly are benefiting, not only because the fathers are gone, but now they are totally dependent. They have no self-esteem. They have no motivation to better themselves. All they know is make more babies with no husbands around and get more money. I'm just trying to lay it out for you so you can see this is a very serious and has been going on for a long time, and I don't see any change anytime in the near future, because what does government do? Throw more money at it. Give it more money. And that's the problem. Okay, let's see. I'll read this last paragraph. I don't think I had this paragraph last time. I'm talking about this one. Let's see. Right here. I added that one. These single moms also can receive food stamps, Medicaid, housing vouchers, grants for education, child care benefits, supplemental nutrition assistance programs called SNAP, in addition to food stamps, to name a few of their benefits. Now, if you gave all of them, you could probably have that many more. Who's paying for that? It's people who have a job and are working. They're paying for all of that. And is it voluntary? No. Just think, here's another aspect I didn't say. If the government wasn't paying for all that, and they didn't take so much money from the people in order to give to these people, think how much more money there would be for each household to be able to function. And they could invest, and they could maybe, and when they're investing, it's creating more jobs, because somebody's got to, if they're going to get a new car, somebody's got to build a car, somebody's got to build all the parts for the car, somebody's got to sell the car, somebody's got to advertise the car, it just would be a snowball. But it's not happening that way, because this is just sucking the life out of people and the nation. Huge government bureaucracies administer these programs, and they are rife with fraud, costing nearly $60 billion each year. That's not the programs. That's the fraud in the programs. $60 billion is a lot of money. If it went to the families, if the families were going to take care of them, if the friends were going to take care of them, if the churches were going to take care of them, if the charitable organizations were going to care for them, they're going to be right on top of it, and they're not going to let the fraud take place. So, I do know this, when Jesus Christ returns, there's not going to be food stamps and AFDC and all the other things, because will function the way that we should. Okay, now all that I thought was just going to take a few minutes as a setup for going in. The next attack is another somewhat subtle one, but it has come in over the years and it's still somewhat shocking to me, but it isn't to most people, and that is cohabitation. That is a direct broadside against marriage and family, is living together unmarried. We now live in a godless society that sees nothing wrong with couples living together without being married. It is totally acceptable, even among Christians. I'm tempted to tell you this, the story. It just affected me so much. It's a personal story. I had a friend. He was a neighbor's child. He grew up, moved away. I hadn't seen him for a while. And he came back and he was talking to me about how he's active in the church. He goes to Lutheran church. Nowhere around here. He's moved, 100 miles away or more. And I said, oh, he says, I said, oh, is your wife active too? He said, oh, no, we're not married. And he said it so matter-of-factly. And I just knew. My jaw just dropped. I couldn't help it. He was talking about how active he was in the church, and he said, oh, no, we're not married. And I just, what do you say? I was really kind of shocked because I didn't think he was reared out in the country, and he has parents that have good moral values and everything. And what shocked me more than anything, there was not a hint of embarrassment or shame in what he said. It was just a matter of fact. No, we're not married. And that drove home to me what I'm showing you here. Even among Christians, when people cohabit, no eyebrows are raised. And they should, but they're not. The pattern for a large number of young people is to hang out. Whatever happened to dating, by the way? This is great for the boys. You don't have to buy gas. You don't have to buy tickets or food. Or just go somewhere, meet in a parking lot somewhere, and just hang out. Just talk, I guess. So the mode today is to hang out and then hook up, meaning fornicate, and then move in. Hang out, hook up, and then move in. Unwed couples live together with no public commitment to lifelong fidelity. There's no reason for it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I've done 3 weddings in the not too distant past, fairly recent, and in every one of them I read this, and I praise the couple for getting married. I didn't used to do that because it was most people typically did get married, but now I give them kudos and I praise them for getting married, doing the right thing, because so many today are not. But I do that. The last wedding I had maybe 150, 180 people. And I said this. I read this verse. I did it on purpose. I don't know how many there were shacking up. I don't know how many there were cohabiting, and I didn't care. And I was doing them a service by reading that, because I was giving them God's attitude for their immorality and for their haughty attitude towards Him and His Word. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. I have about 8 more verses or so, but that gets the point across. I need to get this back in the middle. I hope I don't mess this up. Okay. Now, what I have here are a few headlines here, not going into articles or anything, but just giving you a flavor for what we were covering at this time. The new normal, cohabitation on the rise, study finds, and this is by Jonelle Alicia. This was January, March, April the 4th, 2013 is when this came out. So that was 4 years ago. Nearly half of women in what researchers call first unions with men, 48%, moved in with no wedding vows, according to interviews conducted between 2006 and 2010, up from 43% in 2002 and 34% in 1995. So you can see this cohabitation, the statistics, the numbers are getting higher and higher. And I suspect next year they'll be higher than they are this year. And I think one reason this is happening is because the pastors are not telling people this is repugnant to God, it is a sin, it's defiance, and He will not bless two people that are cohabiting without being married. I don't think the pastors are saying that so much, and I don't think the parents are telling their sons and their daughters. This cheapens a relationship, and as I will show you in a moment, it hurts the relationship and makes it less of a chance to survive, contrary to what so many think. It's becoming more acceptable to be in a long-term committed relationship without a legal document. By the way, I don't give a hoot about the legal document. But what I do care about is that two people make a public commitment, a covenant before God, because that's what seals the marriage right there. That is the marriage. Pamela J. Smock, director and research professor at the Population Studies Center at University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. I think that was a footnote there. Cohabiting was a way to make sure they were ready for the daily rewards and challenges of marriage, says Melms, who adds that most of the young women she knows feel the same. In other words, she says, all we're doing is practicing. I had one guy, this happened nearly 40 years ago. I was on a construction job, and I had told the people I was getting married, and I'm talking about Mary and Carrie. And I told them about she made me this homemade pizza from scratch. Oh, phenomenal. Carrie did.
Okay.
And so I took it to work with me and gave a few slices. And there was two comments. One of them made me very happy, the other made me angry. One of them said, did this woman you're going out with that you say you're going to marry make this pizza? I said, she sure did. He says, well, you better hurry up. That was his comment. And the other one is none of his business. And he says, well, have you been with her? I said, it's none of your business. But I said, no, I have not. And he said, well, I'd never buy a pair of shoes unless I try them on first. That's the same idea that these people have, see. And I didn't even answer him. It made me so angry. But that's their mentality. What does this have to do with the Word of God? What does this have to do with the Creator of us and the Creator of marriage, the one that gives the instruction manual to us for life, has nothing to do with that. But they think they're brilliant when they come up with this idea that cohabiting was a way to make sure that they would be ready for daily rewards and challenges of marriage. Quite the contrary, as we'll see. She even went on to say, I think it would be weird to me to have a friend who would wait to move in together until after they got married. You see how backwards that is? That's the way young girls think today. I say young, I don't know what age. But they think, I would think it weird if I had a friend that got married first and then moved in. That's the mentality today of most people. And it stinketh. What would the Bible say? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. Immoralities would be, include, I should say, shacking up. 1 Corinthians 7:9. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And this says with passion. By the way, with passion is not there, but it is help you understand. It doesn't mean to burn in hell. It means it's better to marry than to have self-control and just be burning with passion all the time. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way which seems right to man, but in the end is the way of death. See, these young people think, I got it figured out. The smart thing to do is We'll try it out. We'll see. We'll move in and see how that works. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what any of this says? And wait till you see the consequences. We'll get to it in a minute. Matthew 19:5. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's in Matthew 19:5. Where have we heard that recently? Genesis chapter 2. Remember that? It's the last verse in Genesis chapter 2. Romans 13:13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, and not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. And people who are living together and are not married are being promiscuous and they are being sensual. They are fornicators. And what does it say? What was that verse up here, the first one? I'll have to find it up here. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So God is going to judge these people who are shacking up, and He will not bless a marriage that in defiance of His word and not getting married. And I hope that you're taking note of that so that you know someone that is shacking up, that if the Holy Spirit leads you to do this, is to somehow impart to them that they're really in a dangerous place because they are defying God and their union, whatever you want to call it, is not being blessed by God. I did that one time. I had a friend. He had a wife and a family, and he started straying. And I told him, if you don't stop, you're going to lose everything. Well, he didn't listen to me, and he divorced his wife and married. Well, he didn't marry her; he just moved in with her. And he called me a while back, and then he said, "How you doing?" Blah blah blah. He says, "You know," he said, "Well, I'm not going to church, but I'm still taking in doctrine. I'm still growing." I said, "What for?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "God's not going to bless your union. You're in open defiance of Him, and He will not bless you living the way you are, period. I don't care how much doctrine you think you're taking in, He's not going to do it." 1 week later, I got an invitation to his wedding, and I went. First Corinthians 6:18. Flee immorality. Every other sin that man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Okay, here are four reasons shacking up before marriage is a bad idea. Are you ready? Okay. Cohabitation in the United States has increased by more than 1,500% in the past half century. In 50 years, cohabitation has risen 1,500%. In 1960, about 450,000 unmarried couples lived together. Now the number is more than 7.5 million. Here are a few of the reasons couples cite for cohabitation. Number one, hoping it is a step towards a proposal. That's what I think about. What a stupid thing. Number two, want to see if they are compatible as roommates. Well, maybe the guy is saying that, but that's a crock as well. And number three, to save money on rent. That's the only one out of those three that even makes sense. I don't say it's right, but at least it makes sense. Now, here are three reasons shacking up before marriage is a bad idea. Only I put four. I add my own in there. Number one, your relationship will probably end if you shack up. An article on examiner.com states that 80% of shacking up relationships end before marriage or end in divorce after marriage. So this living together and see if it's going to go to the next step and all that is a crock as well. Listen, anything that's against God's word is a crock. And I'm not talking about crocodile either. Number two, your children will be negatively affected. Just think about that. If you have children, what are you teaching your children to do? The same guy that I was talking about a while ago, guess what his children did? He had a beautiful, so sweet girl, and when I knew her, she was about, 15, something like that. And so he divorces his wife, and he's shacking up with this woman. And so she follows her daddy's lead, and she's cohabiting with someone. And I saw her, I was over here by the, when I was with Phil Jenkins, and he has that log home. I was working over there, and she came by to look, just by happenstance. I hadn't seen her in 8 or 9 years, something like that. And she came in, and she was talking to me. I felt like crying. She was so sweet and full of life when I saw her. And she was, the way she was dressed was, it was all in black. But what got me more than anything else, her eyes were so vibrant, it was like they were hollow. It was like she was empty inside. It's just, it was a completely different person. And I'm not just talking about the way she looked externally, outside. But it was her manner. She was so smiling and full of life and everything, and she was just like dead on the inside. That's what happens when you disobey God and think you have a better way. To the parents who have children, your kids are 3 times as likely to be expelled from school or get pregnant. They are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and 22 times more likely to be incarcerated if you're shacking up rather than being married. You don't hear those statistics much, though, do you? Number three, it makes you lazy. If you're living with a woman and getting some of the, quote, benefits of marriage, sex, having some help around the house, sharing bills, why get married? There's an old saying that I told my daughter, I think all fathers, and if there's not a father around, the mother ought to tell them, look, when you go out and you have an idea that you're going to shack up with someone, and you think that you're going to get married someday, the old saying is, why buy a cow when you can get the milk for free? So, it doesn't end well because there is no... I'm thinking from a man's point of view. That's the only way I can think because I'm a man. But what you just think of is, I don't understand why the females, the women, would lower themselves to give themselves to a man that's not even loved her enough to commit publicly and an oath to God that you love her and you're going to protect her and you're going to provide for her, you're going to be faithful to her the rest of your life. Why would you give yourself to someone that wouldn't do that publicly? They must have low self-esteem. I don't know what it is. Because if he's living and he doesn't have to make that commitment, what makes you think he will? Why should he? Well, he should because God requires it of him, but... Now, here's the number four. This is one that I added. It's a sin. You hear anybody saying that? It's completely acceptable in our society today, and I'm saying I will look anybody in the face when they're living together and they say, well, we don't need to be married because we live in a committed relationship. Oh, really? How committed is it if you're not willing to publicly make an oath that you're going to have fidelity to this person? How committed can that be? Well, we don't need a piece of paper. I say, I agree, but you need to obey God. It's a sin. This one was not in the article above, but should have been. A legitimate marriage consists of a union between a man and a woman who have made a covenant and commitment. Shacking up involves neither. Marriage was a union created by God and is a union God blesses. And it is sacred because it demonstrates or it shows the relationship between Christ and the church. And for people to mar that and disgrace it by just living together and then claiming it's okay in the face of what God says is an abomination, in my opinion. Okay, so so far we've had government and we've had cohabitation. Now we have the feminist movement. This one, you don't have much on this one. We'll probably get through with this because we're nearly out of time. Now, this is a all I've got is one paragraph here. When I'm giving you these, if you want more information on any of these, you can go see. Like this one is number. This is one for Dobson. And it's on lesson 35, page 65 in the regular notes. And if you want to get the whole article or what I gave on, like this one from Phyllis Schlafly, you can go on the original discernment series and get more of it. I'm just giving you highlights here, okay? So this was by Phyllis Schlafly, and her article was named A Nature Documentary. Taught by Phyllis Schlafly that feminists are the real bullies. And this was in, October 2014. Phyllis Schlafly, Phyllis Schlafly, I don't know what that, that's a typo, I think, who is. Yes. Who is promoting her book, Who Killed the American Family, discusses whom she sees as the culprits in the family demise. Chief among these are, of course, the feminists. They don't like men, they don't like the family, and if you read their stuff and what they're telling young women is, we are victims of the patriarchy and we have to get rid of the patriarchy. Schlafly said, a lot of us think it's just great to have men around to provide and to protect us. Dobson and Pasno warn the feminist lies have ruined both women and men. This was, all I did is just give you the title on that one. Here's another one. Obama administration is a Phyllis Schlafly nightmare. Whatever the feminists want, the feminists get. Remember the tune in the 50s? Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Y'all remember that? That's what made me think of that. Anyway, men and women regret choosing a career over having children and family life because that was the idea. When the feminists really came into prominence and the NOW movement, National Organization of Women, they said, all you women are being abused. You need to get out and show your work. You need to get it, have a career. You housewives are just throwing your life away. A lot of women believed that and got into the workforce, and that was a disaster as well. Not that women can't do the job, but we'll see what the scriptures say in a minute, and we'll have the final word. According to Schlafly, the feminists completely control the Obama administration, and whatever the feminists want, the feminists get, including endorsements of abortion rights and same-sex marriage. Progressives always make that argument that to be forward-moving is to throw off any of the constraints of the past. Why would we hang on to boundaries, regulations, and rules from the past? That's what they're asking, and this is what Phyllis Schlafly says. Because they work. Our Constitution has lasted over 2 centuries. No other country has done that. When our borders are open, people want to come in. They're not trying to get out. I think that's a pretty good test of whether a country is successful or not. We built a great country of great prosperity and enormous freedom, and some people don't like that. They want to look to the government for everything. And by the way, isn't that what's happening in our culture today? We are split nearly down the middle of people who are, I don't know what you call them, conservative, whatever title you want to give them, but they want less government, more freedom, less taxes. They want to be able to pray wherever they want to pray. They And the other side, just the opposite. They want bigger government, more intrusion, more regulation, whatever it is, that's what they want. But what does the Bible say? Titus 2, verse 3 through 5. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. Doesn't say they can't drink wine, but they're not to be enslaved to it. Teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. That is the responsibility of every mother to their daughter, every grandmother to her daughter and to her granddaughters, is that very thing. They need to be teaching these principles. They need to be teaching their daughters. You should never even for one second contemplate just moving in. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. Because he will not respect you. He won't even respect himself. God will condemn it, and you are making a horrible mistake if you do that. And you need to teach them how to love your husbands. Can a father do that? No. He's a guy. He didn't know squat about how to make a husband, how to love your husbands. The women know how to do that. And they need to be doing it. I hope all of you are doing that. Encourage your young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind. People have to be taught how to be kind. It's not natural. And being subject to their own husbands. Listen, if you're not teaching that to your daughter, your grandmothers aren't teaching it to your granddaughters, then I can assure you, if they're not hearing it from anywhere else, the last thing in their mind is ever to be submissive to their husband. Where would they hear it? Where do you hear that today? Just a few pastors and churches around the country that actually teach the Bible. Because like the idea that this homosexual activity, transgenderism, same as with when it comes to cohabitation, these are all the things that destroy young girls, and they need encouragement. They need to be taught. They need to be taken to the side and say, look, you need to listen to me, because number one, I'm listening to God, and I've lived through it. You could tell her stories. You could tell them things that she'll remember for the rest of her life. So you can't just think, well, she won't listen to me. How do you know if you don't try? You need to try. How much more finished? Okay, just got this much and we're done. Let's see. Feminists have had a major negative influence on girls and young women by instilling in them the idea that being submissive to a husband is the same as being a subservient slave. Gloria Steinem said, if you're married, then you're being raped. So that was her idea of it. They would have them believe the goal is equality with men, when in reality that goal is taking a step downward, not upward. And the women need to tell their daughters, the mothers, hey, why would you want to be equal with men? You're already higher than a man. Why do you think they open the door and they treat you like a princess and you want to get out there and wear a hard hat, fight fires, and be a soldier? Nothing looks more stupid to me than a 110-pound girl with a combat uniform. I'm talking with a helmet and even the police. I told Carrie, we were going one time, this girl, she looked like she just got out of high school. I guess she went through the school or whatever. She was a police out on the road, and the uniform looked ridiculous on her. Her gun was up under her arm. I mean, her pistol. And it's just not so. It's just something's wrong. So it's not equality. You'd be taking a step downward. They need to tell their young, impressionable girls that marriage must be, this is what they're telling, that feminists are telling these young impressionable girls that marriage must be 50-50 with neither one being in charge. And that idea is not only stupid, it's unbiblical. I don't have to go into that, you already know about it. There's a huge difference between being feminine and being a feminist. We love women, females who are feminine. And I know feminism being feminine when I see it. One way I know is there's ruffles on here. Ruffles here, and they might have a bow, or they might have a dress. I know it when I see it. But I also know feminism when I see it. When I see a woman wearing a man's clothes, I mean, a whole deal, a coat, tie, whole thing, short hair, tattoo, whatever, I know that's feminist. The feminists have a long way, have gone a long way in destroying femininity in women. Many, if not most females today, walk, talk, dress, and act as if they were males. Gentle, soft-spoken ladies are hard to find these days. Many movies have tough, hardened females in the leading roles who are rougher and stronger than most males who appear to be afraid of them. That's what Hollywood is cranking out over and over and over. I saw one where Angelina Jolie was kicking butt all over the movies, all over the whole, every, the men were afraid of her. Okay, two more little deals here. There are women boxers, wrestlers, pastors, soldiers, generals, firewomen. Does that sound... That just... It's like something doesn't sound right. By the way, what do they call them? Do they...
Firefighter.
Oh, firefighter. Okay. Now I know what to call them. I don't want to call... it's just like calling somebody a chair. You call them a chair, this is a firewoman. They're senators, congresswomen, governors, policemen, policewomen, constructive workers, etc. About the only place you don't have women infiltrating is the NFL. And that might be in our lifetime before it's over with. If they get a woman big enough and ugly enough and strong enough and can fast enough, I guess they'll put a uniform on her and pay her scads of money. I don't know. The feminist movement has caused untold numbers of marriages to break apart. The anti-male ideology is one reason why so many women no longer have respect nor obey their husbands, but to compete with them for the headship of the home. It's not all feminism, but they've contributed to it in a big way. Okay, I went 5 minutes past, and I wanted to get to that point before we ended. Okay, we have a few more attacks on the family before we get through, and we'll move on from there. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have straightened this all out in your word. You have the parameters for how men are to act and how women are to act, what their roles are. And we need to be very courageous, never hesitant to tell especially these young people what your word, what you say about these issues so that they will know. Otherwise, how will they know? If we say it in a filled with the Holy Spirit in a compassionate and loving way and out of concern, hopefully they'll listen. In any case, it's still our duty to tell them. And we pray we'll be motivated to do that. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Well,